Welcome to the Ferris Love Podcast, Single, Not Stalled, Pursuing Sanctity in Your Singleness. This podcast is for Catholic women who find themselves living the single life, whether it by choice, vocation, or circumstance. Here we believe that this time is not just a waiting period, but a season rich with purpose, growth, and grace. Join your hosts, Monica and Katie, two sisters navigating the single life from different perspectives, as we dive into conversations about faith, friendship, professional growth, and finding joy in the everyday. Let's embrace this extraordinary journey together.
So Monica, we're recording this the day before I leave for Rome for Holy Week, because we need to get ahead, because this will come out right as I'm getting back from Rome. So we're a little ahead. But I'm like super excited and also have 5,000 things to do. So here we are.
Here we are. No, it's kind of a dreary day here for me, but I'm like wearing like a hot pink sweater. Like, you know, sometimes I feel like uplift, you know?
Yeah, totally. I love that. What was your joy for the week?
Okay. I'm very excited about this. I am starting to take voice lessons.
What?
I know. Yeah.
With your friend who's the opera singer?
Yes. So nice. I have always wanted to take voice lessons. We'll scratch that. I've always wanted to be a singer. I didn't really know voice lessons were a thing when I was little, but okay. I'm like, oh, like, and I've been really intimidated to do this. And I think we could do a whole episode on ways in which we defer dreams or hold ourselves back, because I think there was this interesting narrative for me, it's like, I'm too old. That ship has sailed. What adult does that? Like, I should have started when I was younger, all of these things. And so I just sort of decided that I need to create a life that I love living. And I should do things that I've always maybe wanted to do and just see, be willing to like kind of blow it up and find out. So I'm starting voice lessons and I'm beyond excited.
I love that. I feel like our niece Savannah is going to be overjoyed for you to be doing that too.
I should tell her. I should let her know.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. What's your joy?
My joy is going to sound really weird and I will not go into the whole story here, but literally I was almost, my bank was almost hacked yesterday, literally 36 hours before I'm leaving for Rome, and they called and said, you know, there's all this scam activity and whatnot. And I was a hair's breadth away from literally sending them thousands of dollars through their back office ways of convincing things. And finally I figured it out. And probably if I wasn't so stressed out over the fact that I was leaving 36 hours from now, I would have realized some of the red flags before it took 2 hours of my life. But so the joy is I didn't get hacked and I didn't lose any money.
The devil be deviling. I know. Lord.
Well, totally. Well, I was laughing too, because like almost every time I travel abroad for something like this, that like is going to be big and holy and like impactful for me and then like the people I'm taking, I always end up having some big financial thing, right? When I took a group to World Youth Day 2 years ago, they overbooked tickets onto my account because of Priceline. Never use Priceline ever. Because of Priceline. And I was charged $89,000 additional dollars. It maxed out all three of my credit cards. It was a disaster. And it took me 6 months to get that fixed. So every freaking time. And it's always a money thing, which money stresses me out. And that's why I have an accountant. So it's
yeah, fun. The devil be deviling. I don't know what else.
Totally.
That's insane.
Totally. Yeah.
So, okay. And segueing to our takeaways from last episode, which was kind of, we were talking about Lent coming to an end and how to carry kind of these Lenten lessons with you moving forward. Any thoughts on that?
You know, for me, one of the things, that is weird that I started doing this Lent and I actually find has been helpful, which is weird. I used to journal out like most of my prayer, like kind of just write out the whole conversation. And I realized as I'm like going through this whole rushing woman thing, et cetera, that part of it was like this frantic need to like make sure I got it all out and like, and whatnot. And like more, I realized I was doing more in my prayer than being in my prayer. And so I really want to continue trying to be doing less and just being more like in the presence of God and being more with him instead of sitting there and being like, okay, so what are we doing today? Like, here's all the things. Oh, and I'm praying for my employees, but we also need to talk about, right? Like all of that. So that's one of the things that I'm really trying to take away.
Wow, I like that a lot. Yeah. That's a really good, I feel like sometimes maybe you like come to these realizations and things that you weren't necessarily expecting. So it's mm-hmm. not even as if you're carrying the Lenten practice with you moving forward, right. but one of the fruits of that practice.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. When I went on my, I go on a retreat every year. When I went on my yearly retreat in January, this was obviously before Lent started. The priest said, if you are that person who brought your to-do list of things you will discuss with the Lord this week, rip it up and throw it out. And I was literally like, I have like a 12-point document on this. All the things serious? I want to pray about and do and like talk to him about. And he was like, because we're here to be with the Lord, not do with the Lord. And I was like, at the time I was like, and I really tried to throw it out. And that's kind of when I started journaling a little bit less and just being in his presence a little bit more. And so anyway, it is fascinating how you get these little promptings and then they kind of move through, etc.
I like that. I like
yeah.
that. My takeaway is I kind of implementing more quiet time and not necessarily like even in my daily prayer, but in, I don't have to always have music on in the morning and in the shower and in the car and on my walk and on my, and a podcast and a this and a that. And, and realizing that I think I clutter myself with noise. It's not always a bad thing. I love music and I love dancing and singing to all these things. And it's a really great thing. And it's great stress relief and it has its time and its place, but that there was for me an over-reliance on this to help me avoid, to avoid addressing things with myself and not just with God. Like I can talk to God about these things, like, meh. But like with myself, like kind of just like not necessarily wanting to think about certain things or the heaviness of things or kind of go there sometimes. Yeah. It's easier for me to be in denial. Right. Like,
yeah,
denial, but like action of like, I'm just going to fix and change everything. And like, instead of like slowing down to also experience. And so I think this Lent, there's been so much silence for me this Lent because of cutting out the music that I literally was 2 days into Lent and I was like, I think I need a new one. I cannot do this. And then I thought to myself, it's supposed to be difficult. Let's get into this. It's okay. And the discomfort of constantly being quiet in my thoughts and the willingness to go into certain spaces. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh gosh, this is okay. I see what's going on here.
It's interesting. A couple, like probably 2 years ago, I decided that we might have talked about this in another episode. No, I don't remember, but I decided the first 30 minutes of every hike I would do without my headphones in.
And then
if I wanted to, I'd put them back in. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. I find more and more I end up doing the whole hike without them in. And really? I'm not even like choosing to. It's not like 30 minutes go by and I was like, okay, try for another 30. It's like I'm just enjoying the conversation with our Lord, the taking in of nature, the, you know, whatever. And suddenly I'll get back and I'll be like, oh, I carried my headphones with me the whole time and didn't put them in. Cool.
Yeah.
No, but sometimes you can start small, subtly. Uh-huh. You know, because Lent, we tend to be like all or nothing, like big, go big or go home. But, you know, you can also start subtly too.
I love it. Mm-hmm. So today we are talking about these interesting kind of insights I had from this podcast that I was listening to that was talking a lot about cues. So our body language, our verbal cues and things like that, and what messages we're conveying either consciously or unconsciously. And I was thinking a lot about this because I think as single women, particularly as Christians, even if you're married, a little bit different, but it's our job or our responsibility to be attractive, to attract. Right. And so I think some situationally single women are probably like, I can never get a guy's attention, or like the dates are uncomfortable, or I don't know what to do about all of these things. And there's a lot of confusion and stuff like that. Or maybe I don't really know how I'm showing up. Mm-hmm. But that regardless of why you're single, we're all called to be attractive, to like pull people in. And I think so many of us are not doing this.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, to be clear, we're not saying like you need to be, you know, on people's top 30 most beautiful people in the world list. That's not necessarily what we're meaning by attractive, but like in the sense of you want to be someone that other people are attracted to. They want to get to know, they're interested in, right? That by when we do that as Christians, right, we're evangelizing. We're pulling people in so that they get to know, what is it about us that makes us tick? Why are we so happy? Why are we so joyful? Why does that come across?
Yeah.
And the way that we carry ourselves, the way that we dress ourselves, the facial expressions that we have, like that kind of thing. That's kind of what we're getting at and what we're talking about today.
Yeah, to draw people in. So that what we mean, yeah. That's a really good distinction, that attractiveness is not, we're not talking about skincare routines today and how to like get this glow up. We're talking about things that we do unconsciously with our face and with our bodies that are either pushing people away or drawing people in, and how we should actually be cognizant of how we are presenting ourselves in the world and how we're being received by others.
Totally. So as an introvert, for me, this is something that I think a lot about, because I want, like, when I first meet someone, my first reaction is always to like lean into the introvertness and kind of like pull into a shell, pull into myself. I always overthink what I'm going to say and how I'm going to interact with them and all of that kind of stuff. And so I have to spend a lot of time really thinking, especially before I show up somewhere, like, okay, like who do I want to show up here? Right. And not that I'm like fake or false, but like, what is the version of Katie that I need to be in this situation or in this circumstance? And then how do I do that? How do I communicate that with others? You know? And I think for me, like vocationally single, that's like really important. Like, for instance, I just this past weekend staffed a retreat for women, and I was the like only staffer there at the beginning when everybody was arriving and it was pouring rain and all of that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, this is like the worst moment to arrive. It was like raining buckets. Like, it was crazy. They had to walk in the rain to get to their rooms, all this stuff. And I was like, okay, I have to be the like really cheerful, like, I'm so glad you're here, like, thanks for roughing the weather voice. Was that what I was feeling in the moment? Heck no, because I was drenched. My feet were freezing. I was running back and forth in the rain everywhere. But that, I was like, this is what they need as they arrive for the retreat. They need to be welcomed and they need to feel like, oh, it's good that I am here. You know?
This researcher, and her name escapes me, but we could probably find it and put it in the show notes and stuff. But she was talking about how it's important that people, yes, come across as competent, but warm. And I think we sort of forget that sometimes, that it's actually the softness of people in their expression that helps us feel comfortable in that interaction. And so there are some really subtle things we can do. They found that the TED Talks that were more successful had more hand gestures than, and I knew this research before, which is actually so interesting. And I think sometimes we maybe even subconsciously do this, but I start all of my therapy sessions. I start and end all of my therapy sessions with my clients by showing my palms.
Huh.
It's so good to see you. It's just like a hello, right? Because what our palms symbolize is peace. Mm-hmm. I have no weapons.
Yeah.
And I am open, right? Like, yeah. I have no weapons and I am open. And it's really, people don't even know it, but there's an unconscious process that happens within the other person of letting a guard down when the other person signals to them, I come in peace. Mm-hmm. And we do this a lot, right? Like, you know, shaking hands. I cannot hurt you if there's nothing in my hand. And they did interesting research on the more people's hands were hidden. So sometimes in interviews or on dates, our hands are under the table, they're on our lap. And there's something interesting. Cortisol levels start to rise in the other person when they can't see your hands. And that's there's like a little bit of like a, thing. Yeah, it is. And it's kind of a like, I don't know what's under that table and I don't know what's in their hands and I don't know. And it's not even maybe a conscious process. Sometimes you're going to interact with someone and you're going to say, I don't really know what it was. I was just a little uncomfortable. Or like, I don't know. They just seemed disingenuous, or like, I don't know. They didn't seem too open. And part of it is maybe not even a conscious process on their part, but in their body language and in what they're signaling. So I think something so interesting that we can start to do, no matter who we're with, we can start to send these open and receptive signals. And something so easy to do is to gently use your hands as you speak. I mean, inflammatory in big gestures, if that's what you're communicating, right? But that we can actually use our hands in these really subtle ways to convey, simply showing your hands will convey openness.
This is making me think we go and visit a lot of our clients and like shoot video for their social media and stuff like that. And so often what we do is we sit a client down, we put a camera in their face and we just ask them a bunch of questions so that they have to answer it really quickly. And I will tell you, like 10 times out of 10, they sit there with like their hands under their legs or their hands in their lap, like clasped together. And I'm always saying to people, do you talk with your hands? And they'll be like, yeah. And I was like, okay. So if you talk with your hands in person, I want you to talk with your hands on this video. And they're like, well, and I said, because when you just sitting there flat, it's just not dynamic and it's boring, but it also makes it seem like you don't want to be here.
Yep.
Right. And like, that's for social media, obviously, but I think it's the same in life. When you're meeting with someone and you're talking with them, if you're just sitting there like looking mopey, hands together, right? People are like, oh, she's not interested in me.
Yeah.
You know?
And our feelings often follow our behaviors. So if I start to act closed off, I start to feel closed off. If I start to act insecure because I'm sitting on my hands and my eyes are looking down because I'm insecure or struggling with what I'm communicating or I'm intimidated by the environment. Maybe I know what I'm talking about, but there's a camera in my face and I'm intimidated, or I'm in front of a new boy for the first time and I don't know, I'm intimidated, uncomfortable. And what's cool is that if you start acting the way you want to feel, you'll start to feel that way.
Yeah. So this is making me think, of this. It's a really famous TED Talk. I'm going to have to figure out. We'll put it in the show notes, hopefully, about like signaling with your body things that you need. Power posing is what she calls it. And she talks about how there are certain power poses that people automatically do. And we don't even know where they came from, right? Like you win and you're like, hands go up in the air and you're like excited, right? Because it's like, you're big and you're like, and whatnot. And I remember when I was teaching, my seniors would always do a big capstone project and they had to teach a class. They had to teach the full like 40-minute class. They had to give a 20-minute presentation, do Q&A and that kind of thing. So they had the whole class period. And a lot of them would come in beforehand really nervous and like really afraid and all that kind of stuff. And I would always say when they'd come in the classroom early before everyone else. And I'd be like, I need you to do like the Superman pose, right? Yeah. Like legs spread out, arms up in the air, spread out. And the girls would always be like, Miss Ender, that's dumb. And I'm like, yeah, okay. But like, do it. Like, do it. And this TED Talk presenter was like, even like if you're going into a business meeting and you're like feeling nervous, go into the bathroom and just do that in the stall or whatever. And she's like, and that will switch your mind, your brain, the way you show up so that you're feeling more confident. You're feeling, and I think, you know, people pick up on that kind of a thing. And so it can be really helpful, whether you power pose in the bathroom or whatever before a date or before you're going to meet someone for the first time or whatever.
Before big meetings.
Yeah.
I think, it's interesting. We underestimate how subtle cues really influence not only ourselves but others. But we are getting these gut instincts. And it like, is it gut or is it just that like we are as humans so attuned to picking up on small things that we just can't name it? That why we just, you know, I don't know. I think I hear this a lot with people like, I just didn't feel a spark. Or, I don't know, this was just this, or this was that. And like, I don't know, I just felt kind of like disconnected from this person and I couldn't put a finger on it, or it just didn't go as well as I wanted it to. And I'm not sure why. And so I think if we can kind of tap into how we're showing up, and yes, it's in our clothing and it's in being prepared, but it's also in how we are, like presenting ourself emotionally, physically, like even kind of this idea of like, if you have a resting sad face or a resting bothered face or a resting anxious face, kind of how your face typically sits just at rest, and kind of challenging yourself to like, open your eyes a little bit more, like let that smile creep out a little bit, just kind of present something a little bit more intentional, we can really shift the perception of others. And it's not in a manipulative way where we're like, oh, I'm going to like use these things to get what I want and to do this and that. But I actually think that these are things we really do want to convey. Like, we do want to be connected to people. We do want to convey warmth. We just struggle with it. And if you're listening to this and you're like, I'm terrified to be outgoing and to talk to people, I'm always like kind of nervous, I don't know how to show up in these settings. What is so cool is that a charismatic person is learned. Mm-hmm. This is a learned thing that can become very natural and organic to you with practice.
Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, this is like 100% me in the sense of like, I was this shy, introverted high schooler who, like, in fact, now that we're talking about this, I was at a sleepover with a bunch of friends, and like, I think this was probably my junior or senior year, and I'd been going to school with them since sixth grade, so like, I'd know them for a long time at this point. And in the middle of the sleepover, as you know happens at, you know, 2 a.m when people start saying things they probably shouldn't, one of the girls was like, oh yeah, like, everyone knows Katie's basically looks like a B word until you get to know her, and then she's really nice. And I will tell you, that was probably one of the hardest things that I'd ever heard in like from a friend, up to this point. And, but I am still to this day so grateful for it, because I remember thinking like, okay, but like, that's not it at all. Like, I am like just shy and introverted and kind of like petrified of talking to people. And I was like, and I had no idea it was coming across as bitchy, that it was coming across as like uninterested and angry with people. And, you know, to your point, like, it really made me stop and think like, okay, I need to readjust my face and I need to readjust the way that I present myself and the way that I interact with people to present who I really feel I am inside, who's this person who cares a lot about others and is deeply interested in you. But that wasn't coming across because I was in my head too much, and I was sitting there thinking like, okay, what do I need to say next? And like, I hope they like me and all this kind of stuff. And so I was looking that resting bothered face or whatever.
Your body betrays you.
Totally.
We think that we can lie. This is why I actually just ordered this book from a hostage negotiator called something like Body Language. Super excited to get into it and do this deep dive. But like, this is how people who are really, really good at reading people, like, your words lie, your body doesn't. And we see this all the time, right? I see this. I think the most common thing, and what I see a lot with my clients, what I catch myself doing, is that I say yes while I'm shaking my head no.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So there's a disconnect here. At the bare minimum, maybe you're not lying, but there's a disconnect. There's something even about the words you're saying you don't believe, and your body is telling on you. And so this is why like these expert hostage negotiators and like these, I don't know, agents, all these people can like read it and pick up on it so fast. Now, some people are more attuned to this, right? Some maybe extroverted or charismatic people can kind of like read a room and people very quickly.
I think introverts are actually better at doing that because you are more inside yourself. Like, I'm really good at reading a room and figuring out like,
yeah,
where everyone is and what they need and that kind of a thing. And I think it's because like introverts tend to be very observant, right? They tend to be a little bit removed, but I'm sure, I mean, obviously some extroverts can be great at it too, but I think both ways.
Yeah, maybe it's not an introverted, extroverted thing. Yeah. Maybe it's like just a sensing thing, but there are some people who are really good at reading people and other people who are maybe not as attuned to like those cues that we give off. And so I think what's interesting is to maybe kind of be reflective on how am I showing up? And here's what I love getting feedback from people. I understand that other people don't. Like, I love really positive and negative. I just like feedback. And I know that's hard for some people to like ask these hard questions, but I think it's like maybe some trusted people in your life. Something that could be interesting is asking them, hey, how do I show up? I will say I have this very good guy friend, and I knew we were going to be friends when I was driving him home from a party, and he said, you want to know what my first impression of you was? And I was like, yes, I do.
Not really.
And he goes, I thought you were a insert B word. And I thought to myself, we're going to be friends. Anyone who is bold enough to be that honest with me, I want in my life. And this is just my personality where I was like, I love the hard truths. And I was like, oh my gosh, tell me more about that. Like, okay, great. Like, I'm open to the feedback. And similar to what your friend said, right? Like, when you get to know me, it's like, she's so warm and nice. But there's this coming across as not. And so I think it's important to talk to trusted people in your life and ask them, how do I come across? Yep. What was your first impression of me? At rest, like, do you think that I have a resting bothered face? Do I look nervous? Like, kind of, what is it? Like, how am I coming across to things? This is that feedback is going to give us just an indicator on areas of growth, not these character flaws or deficits necessarily that you have. It doesn't have to, we don't have to weigh this heavy on us, but it's opportunities to say, okay, I can work on that. I can work on, if that's not how I want to be coming across, there's a way to change that.
Right. I think, you know, and this is, you know, to the point of like using this for evangelization, using this to meet new people, to, you know, meet your future spouse one day, if you're, you know, situationally single, to, you know, evangelize no matter your vocation, like that kind of thing, to be an apostle. I think it's really good to know these things and just think of how do I implement them? How do I use them in what I do? I remember reading something once about how if you're sitting there talking to someone and you have your arms crossed, that comes across as like, I'm not actually listening to you. Oh, like I'm closed off to what you're saying and that kind of a thing. And I remember reading that when I was working at a school and I was part of working there, you were a mentor to some of the kids and whatnot, and thinking like, I need to shift. And like, I would just sit down and just sit and cross my arms. And I was not upset about hearing, like talking to them. I was like really excited about it, but I was like, I need to switch the way that I do this. And so I started sitting more with like one arm, like on the back of the chair, or like just my hands, like kind of loosely in my lap instead. And I started to notice like subtle differences it was making in the way girls would open up and the way they, and even the topics we would talk about, because it like, without realizing it, they were like, oh, Katie's more open to hearing what I have to say. She's more open to dialogue and discussion.
Yeah, this is so interesting because, I mean, we study this a lot in graduate school, right? Because as a therapist, my body language matters a lot in regards to how much my client is going to open up and when do I adjust my body language, when do I not, how do I adjust it, and so forth. But it's true. I think it's a thing a lot of people aren't necessarily conscious of. And it's, while you may not have been closed off to receiving what this person was telling you, you're like, I wanted to be there and I wanted to hear. Maybe a part of that process was uncomfortable for you, which is why you were expressing a form of discomfort. Right. And so it's just about recognizing and shifting. And it's literally just subtle shifts of just like opening your arms, or shifting the body a little bit, or like, you know, what was it in America's Next Top Model, Tyra Banks, right? Didn't she like coin this, like, smize, like smile with your eyes. Yep. Like, yeah. Like, can I brighten my eyes a little bit to show that I'm invested in, in the conversation of what's being had? Like I'm tuned in, right? My eyes are communicating that I want to be here. Even when my words are not, like, 70-75 something like that percent of communication is nonverbal. Think about that. We're communicating far more with what we're not saying than with the words that we are saying.
Sure. And a lot of it is like micro expressions that people aren't even consciously picking up, but subconsciously they're like, oh, she's upset, oh, she's mad, oh, she's whatever, you know. And they couldn't come back and tell you, well, it's because like this left brow lifted this amount and whatnot, right? But they know, like, you pick up on that and you know when someone's upset with you. Or, you know, like, I was thinking too, like, when a boss is going to have like a difficult conversation with you and they're like, hey, can I catch you for 5 minutes? Like, you know, right? Like, sometimes you know, like, oh, this, like, they could say, can I catch you for 5 minutes? It's going to be really good. And it could be, can I catch you for 5 minutes? And you're like, I'm in trouble.
Yeah. Even talk about tone of your voice and how it depends on, they study the TED Talks that have like these different things. And like, you can have like a numbers voice where like, did you know 73% of blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, that's cluing me in. Like there's data here, right? And then there's like a narrative voice where we like go through and we're telling a story and it's really engaging and it's high and it's low. And it's like, how am I kind of presenting these things in a way that is engaging or attractive to the other person? If I'm only speaking in this really monotone voice, or if I'm not even excited about what I'm sharing, who would want to hear your message? Mm-hmm. Like, who would look at a Christian and be like, wow, you're really boring. You look pissed off. Sign me up.
Yeah, I want that.
More about Jesus. Like, nobody do that, right? So,
yeah, I think, you know, it's reminding me of the line from St. Paul's, which I'm going to not quote perfectly, but he basically is like, I became all things to all people in order to bring them to Christ, right? Like, I figured out what each kind of person needs and I give them that in order to give them Christ. And, you know, like, that's what we're called to do, right? To, like, read the room a little bit and, you know, or like, okay, so in the center here in St. Louis where I'm at, you know, one of the other numeraries, like, really, like, physical touch must be her love language. She just really, really loves getting a hug. And so I was, like, leaving the other night. And so I, like, she was like, oh, bye. Like, I'm not going to see you, like, before you leave for Easter. And I was like, bye. And, like, gave her this really big hug. Okay, hugging is not my thing. Don't love it, wouldn't choose it on my own, but like I love her a lot because she's family and she's my sister. And so of course I was like, you get a really big, good hug because that's what you need. And like kind of reading the room in that sense can help a lot, right? And paying attention to those things.
This episode, this researcher also talked about kind of those little things, which I think I would call being attuned, like attuned to the needs or to the perception of others and these things. But that if you actually want friends or to be connected with people in this way, and you want to be the person who's able to be outgoing and able to be social and able to attract and things like that, we almost have to be daring enough to kind of put ourselves out there. And so she talks about, and I actually have started doing this. This is so interesting because I've been doing this and I didn't know kind of the research behind it or why I felt compelled to do it. I just felt like this was an area of growth that I had to lean into. And it's that if I think it about someone else and it's positive, I should tell them.
Yeah.
So I listen to a podcast and I think of the friend who turned me on to that podcast and I think, oh gosh, I love that they did that. And I should text them and say that. I'm listening to the podcast. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Or I think I'm walking through the store and I see something and I'm like, LOL, it makes me think of them. Why am I not taking a picture and sending it to them saying, saw this, thought of you, hope you're having a good day, whatever. And that it's actually in those subtle things, those promptings, those inspirations to think of others, that if I'm bold enough to be vulnerable and reach out, it kind of goes back to the episode we did on communication of like, I don't want to bother people. I don't want to annoy them. Or like, I don't have time to like open the whole conversation. You don't have to, but people like to know that you're thinking of them, that they're thought of, that they're sought after. And so if we can kind of invest, like this is how we cultivate relationships or help people feel. This is how we like help ourselves also feel outgoing and connected to people. And I'm thinking of the fact that our mom texted us the other day because she was listening to an episode and she was just like, these bits from God are called actual grace. And I was like, okay, so that's what this is also, you know, in the Catholic perspective, we're going to say these little inspirations of I should text so-and-so, I thought of so-and-so, I thought of a nice thing about so-and-so, we should text them. And whether that be psychological, informing better cues and communication with people and attractiveness, or spiritual and that it's actual grace and that maybe they need you to be reaching out, regardless, good for us.
Yeah, I agree. And even, you know, taking that a step further, you know, we talked about this a couple episodes ago where I decided I was going to compliment people that I saw in like the store that I was like, I really like her outfit or whatever, right? So I was in Walmart like 3 days ago and this woman was walking by and I really, really love short hair. On women, like fun pixie cuts and all that kind of stuff. I go back and forth. My hair's long now, but usually it's in some kind of pixie or whatever. And this woman just had a great looking pixie. She had this like funky gray hair and I just stopped and she was frowning as she was like pushing out of Walmart and with her cart. And I just stopped and I said, can I just say, I love your haircut. And she beamed from ear to ear and she was like, wow, thank you so much. And then just kept walking. But I was like, that, you know, that little thing changed, you know, her face and her expressions. And it cost me nothing. Like it cost me nothing at all. You know, and so, but I think too, that like those little ways are good ways to start building friendships too, yeah. Right? When like, if you're like, I don't have that many friends, or I don't have someone who I'm like walking through Target and think of them and then want to send that text message. Well, those little, as you're getting to know someone, starting those little things can be a good way to start building that relationship and kind of building that, the same with evangelization, right? Like that's how you do it.
It takes being bold. And mm-hmm. I remember the first time I did this, I tend to historically, I'm changing the way I use my words here. Historically, I have showed up in romantic relationships a little bit with my guard up.
Sure.
Okay. And I think that's really common for a lot of us to show up and be like, ooh, I don't know. And so I'm just going to keep a guard up a little bit, just, you know, cautious. And, I will never forget the first time I had started recently dating this guy. I'm on a girl's trip and I thought of him and of something he had done that I thought was actually like really sweet and very endearing. Mm-hmm. And previous me would have just thought it and let it go.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, I should send a text message and I don't want to, but I want to, but oh gosh, I don't know how to do this. And so I sent the text message. I was like, hey, I was thinking of you, right? Like, and validating this thing that he had done that I thought was very genuine and sweet. And it's like, you know, so Kate, to your point where you say like, it cost me nothing. Like it cost me a little bit. I had to be willing to get hit or rejected. Right. Yeah. Or like put myself out there and just like, oh, it takes sometimes. You're right. We did not have a deeply established relationship at that point. So the way in which this was going to be received was unknown to me. And right. It's the fear of the unknown and the fear of being humbled
mm-hmm.
that keeps us from sometimes doing these things. But it's in fact these exact things that help people feel more secure with us, that attract others to us, mm-hmm. and that actually allow us to be open and receptive enough to receive others in our life. And so yeah. If you're making these new friendships, if you're cultivating these vocations, if you're meeting people for the first time, be bold. Like tell them ways that you're thinking of them. And also to some degree, it's a challenge for us to think kindly about people.
Mm-hmm.
Can I intentionally compliment someone today or be thoughtful or communicate interest of some sort towards mm-hmm. them in my body yeah. language or in my words towards them.
Mm-hmm. And I think two things. One, I'm sure after you sent that text, right, to him, I'm sure the second time was easier. And yeah. then the third time was probably even easier than that, right? So it's a little bit of like building that muscle, right? And we can do that with friendships, with romantic relationships, yeah. with family relationships, whatever, right?
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to someone once and she was like, oh, I have this horrible relationship with my brother, but like, I wish it was better. And I was like, well, you have control over that.
To a degree, yeah.
And she's like, well, no, I don't know. Like, it's just, it's been awkward. Like, we've had some difficult things. And she's like, so, like, I just haven't called him in a while. And I don't tend to text him. And I was like, well, why don't you just text him and say you're thinking of him? And she was like, I don't know if I can do that. And, like, whatever, right? Like, who knows what the full relationship was between the two of them and that kind of a thing. But, like, provided there's not, you know, horrible trauma, big T trauma that's happening here. Like there are ways that we can mend relationships or create a relationship with someone who we want better, right? You know, I think we've got cousins who like, I'm like, oh, I wish I was better friends with them now, like closer yeah. than I was, like I was when I was younger, right? And so I'm like, okay, that means I need to make more of an effort. So I go and visit them, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, I'm coming, I'm swinging by. I mean, and swinging by means I'm driving 2 hours to their place, but like I want to be closer to that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
know, you got to make that effort and, yeah. and put that in.
I think the theme that I'm hearing, kind of this undercurrent in everything that we're sharing, is can I communicate verbally and non-verbally? I want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be here in this relationship, in this dynamic, in this interview, in this presence, so forth. It's interesting. She talks about, I keep saying she, I have to find this researcher's name. So sorry.
Oh, I looked her up. Hold on. Let me pull it. Cause it was from Diary of a CEO.
Yes. Diary of a CEO podcast. I love it.
She's yeah. That's one of my favorite podcasts. She is Vanessa Van Edwards. She's the founder of Science of People.
She's so cool. I also think she's so cool because she, Katie, sounds like she was a lot like you. Actually, her inspiration for why she even started this was because she was a researcher, I think biology or something, and she had to do a group project in which each person in the group had to write 5 pages. And she walked up to her professor and she said, I will write 3 times the pages if I don't have to do this with someone. And he said, the point of the project is not the pages, it's the people. Yep. And she burst into tears and she said, please don't make me do this. And he said, yeah, now you gotta.
That sounds like that would have been me.
He actually put her on this trajectory because he said, you're struggling with relationships and with people.
Yep.
Why don't you study the people who are doing it right or doing it well and start doing what they're doing? And so she started just watching, observing, researching people. Mm-hmm. And who are the popular kids? And not like, oh, the popular kids, but with curiosity of what are the popular kids doing? Mm-hmm. I want to do that. And what actually ended up, what she found was that the popular kids had 50 people that they liked and that they interacted with every day. And that those were the kids who were able, they had social clout because they could interact with people and they said hi on average to more people. And the people who were isolated and individual and pulled away and not engaged in world and people or attracting more people to them is because they were not attracted to people and they weren't engaged and they weren't saying hi and they weren't functioning with those people in that way. And so I think in some ways, yeah, why would I go up to the shy, quiet, introverted person when they're communicating verbally and nonverbally, I do not want to be here.
Right.
I don't want to be in a relationship with you or in this space.
Yeah. And I think to your point that like basically what we're talking about is, look, we want to communicate. I want to be here with you. And I think I want to take that a step further. We want to communicate. I want to be here with you. And you are like worthy of being with. Right? That like you are loved or that kind of a thing, right? Because I think especially if as we're thinking evangelization, going out, making friends, right? Like that kind of a thing. It's not just, I want to be with you. It's also, I want to be with you because you are made in the image and likeness of God, because you are another Christ. And I want to bring that to you and help you see that through the way I talk to you, the way I interact with you, the way I show up when we're together.
Oh, I love it. And I think that, yeah, there's so much. Oh my gosh, there's so much to say. We could do a part 2.
I know. We need to.
My mind just ran to like the dating apps and how we convey different things on dating apps and or even like your LinkedIn profile, these pictures. Like, how do you put a picture of yourself out there that's actually conveying what you want it to convey? And it's in all of these subtle cues about like what our mouth is doing, what our eyes are doing, all of these things.
I know. I'm actually fascinated by people's like professional headshots.
Interesting.
Like the ones that they choose. I mean, obviously I'm in a profession that like you can have a much more fun, funky headshot, right? Like my headshot that's on my email is I'm in a leopard print jacket and I'm like kind of turned, like looking over my shoulder. Like it's a lot more fun and playful because that's kind of the business that I'm in. But I just find it fascinating. Like the people who are, you know, in the power suit, standing in the power pose, whatever, like, yeah, all of that conveys
something. But what's interesting is you might not be conveying what you think you are.
Well, that too.
Isn't that interesting? So, and she even said, oh gosh, like we can really do a whole deep dive on this, but even our word choice, right? So when you are emailing your coworkers and you're saying, can we touch base at 4:00? Okay. All right. Interesting. But if the email header actually said collaborating at 4, it's received so much better. Why? Our word choice is going to communicate something which sends these signals of like, is this going to be positive or negative? Am I going to have to brace for impact or is this? And so kind of how do we break down barriers even by thinking about our word choice that it's not always what I'm saying, but how I'm saying it. And that like, maybe there's a lighter or more playful or more engaging word that I can use in communicating with someone.
Did you know, so if you use Grammarly, right, to track your things and whatever, it sends you like every week or every other week, like an insights, right? And so it tells you the tone that you usually take. So I was just looking at like one from a couple of weeks ago for me, and 32% of what I write is confident, 16% is informative, 11% is informal, 10% is inspirational, Then 6% is very direct, 6% is formal, and then 5% is optimistic.
Interesting.
And to me, it's always fascinating because I do want to strike a balance of confident, right? I want my clients to know that I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm talking about. I want to be informative because I also want to be giving them the tools that they need. Yeah. But I also want to be a little like fun and informal. And so that comes across. And I check these numbers from Grammarly every now and again to make sure I haven't fallen into a little, upset hole or whatever.
That's actually a good form of feedback. Mm-hmm. For you to be like, how am I kind of coming across and appearing? Because we can get totally stuck in kind of an autopilot and not even realize what we're doing.
That's true. This doesn't have to do with our body language and all of that. But even I laugh with my employees because I tell them now, I'm like, listen, if I send you a Slack message or an email that sounds upset, mm-hmm. I'm not. I'm just trying to get through my to-do list. And I remember the first time I said that to someone, it took a lot for me to say that because I was like, I don't think I need to explain myself, whatever, right? But I realized people were reading it, in the wrong way. And someone said, oh, phew, you mean when you use periods, you're not mad at me?
Huh?
And then someone else on the team goes, you mean when she uses the grammatically correct end of a sentence? And like...
Hey, tension.
But, certain generations, if you end a sentence with a period in a Slack message or a text message, it's like, I'm mad. I need to end with exclamation marks only or no punctuation at all.
The millennials are very attuned to that. Boomers are like, this is grammatically correct. What are you talking about? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Gen Z are like, and exclamations or no punctuation at all, please. Like,
yeah, and you're like, these are run-on sentences.
I'm like, I can't read this. Anyway, so that's a diversion from what we were talking about earlier. So let's wrap up. What should our kind of thought process or homework be, thought exercise for this week? Yeah.
I think that, I don't know. I think there's probably so much for people to take away. I think you could probably, if you haven't or if you don't know. Okay, so as a psychologist, what am I thinking? I'm thinking I have to know the issue before I can implement a solution. So if you don't really know how you're coming across or what some of these growth points could be for you, my challenge for you is to go talk to someone and ask and be willing to receive that uncomfortable feedback maybe. And then... for those of you who probably are, you've received feedback like this before, or you are really very introspective and you know how you're kind of coming across in this world and the areas to work on, I would say think about one thing that you can kind of change and adjust, adapt, and just kind of see how that goes. Like see how it maybe subtly changes these interactions with people in your life.
This is good because I'm gonna do this while I'm in Rome because obviously like I'm chaperoning a group. I'm kind of helping out and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be good for me to like just pay a little bit more attention to it. I mean, I already am pretty cognizant because I don't want to come across as that resting, bothered face. And I know I can. And like I come across, I mean, plus my height and all that, I can come across as scary. Anyone who's listening to this who knows me, knows me well. They probably were scared of me at one point.
Sure.
Which I never understand. But anyway, it always makes me sad when people tell me that, but I get told that a lot. So... alas. So I always try to not come across as scary. So.
It's okay. It's good.
Yep. All right. That's it this week for Single Not Stalled. We hope this episode gave you new insights and a renewed sense of purpose in your daily life. Wherever you are on your journey, remember that God is with you and the season is filled with opportunities to grow, flourish, and make an impact. If you're loving the podcast, please take a moment to rate and review it. It helps more women like you to find this community. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Join us on social media at Single Not Stalled on Instagram. We'd love to hear your thoughts and ideas. Until next time, keep living fully and walking boldly.